Made on Zencastr.
Hello, and welcome to The Independent Minds, a series of conversations between Abecida and people who think outside the box about how work works, with the aim of creating better workplace experiences for everyone. I am your host, Michael Millward, the Managing Director of Abecida. As the jingle at the start of this podcast says, The Independent Minds is made on Zencastr. Zencastr is the all-in-one podcasting platform on which you can create your podcast in one place and then distribute it to the major platforms like Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Google. It really does make creating content so easy. If you would like to try podcasting using Zencastr, visit zencastr.com/pricing and use my offer code Abecida. All the details are in the description. Now that I have told you how wonderful Zencastr is for creating podcasts, we should make one. One that will be well worth listening to, liking, downloading, and subscribing to. Very importantly, we won't tell you in this episode of The Independent Minds what to think, but we do hope to make you think. Today, my guest Independent Minds is Billy Smith of Complete Clarity and Simplicity Legal, a firm of solicitors in Glasgow, Scotland. I highly recommend a visit to Glasgow. I've enjoyed some very nice times there. It is a city that smiles better. The best way to book travel to Glasgow or anywhere else in Scotland is with the Ultimate Travel Club. It is where I get trade prices on flights and hotels. You'll find a link and membership discount code in the description. Now, hello, Billy.
Hello, Michael.
Please, could we start by you telling us a little bit about Billy Smith and how you became a solicitor? I know that you passed lots of exams and all that sort of stuff to become a solicitor, but yes. Why did you become a solicitor?
Yes. Why did I become a solicitor is an interesting question that could take us quite some time, and I'll give you the shortened version. I was essentially told when I was very young, in my early 20s, by a former employer that I would never make it. And I decided to prove someone wrong. And that may well seem to be quite the headline, but it's actually the truth. I was never academically good enough to go to university after leaving school. I went and got myself a job in a very small law firm. I was there for several years. That job came to an end abruptly, where I was sacked. And I was sacked with the words of, you'll never make it. And I decided to embark on what I needed to do to become a solicitor. And it took me the best part of 10 years to get to the point of qualification, but I got there.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And yeah, I spent several years as a fairly typical qualified solicitor in Glasgow, and a firm I thoroughly enjoyed. But decided in 2010 that the wife, whom I still have, remarkably, she puts up with me, and the now four children in 2010 that we had been blessed with were going to require, shall we say, considerably more income than what my employers were prepared to give me. And I had to take a leap of faith, and hence why the firm of solicitors, Complete Clarity Solicitors, at that stage, Complete Clarity Solicitors was created.
And now it employs 35 people.
Absolutely. Started on the 1st of September 2010 with what I say is me, myself, my laptop, my mobile phone, lots of determination, quite a lot of probable stupidity. Yeah, some 14 years, 13 and a half years on, yeah, we're employing a fair amount of people.
You didn't choose to call it Billy Smith and Partners, though.
Oh, no.
You called it Complete Clarity.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it had to be different. Certainly the delivery of legal services in Scotland, and I think I speak for the United Kingdom when I say this, was certainly at that time evolving. It was becoming more commoditized. Gone were the days when you had your lifetime solicitor. Much as we probably all, certainly those of a certain vintage, remember the days when we had our doctor.
Yes.
It doesn't happen these days. Gone were the days where you had your solicitor. The market was changing. The internet was becoming, and I do stress this, it was becoming a thing amongst lawyers. And therefore, people had choice. We had to be seen to be different in order to rank higher than our competitors. But that's not sufficient. We also had to be different in how we delivered things. We certainly were different on the tin, But when you opened up the tin, we had to be different as well. So that's why I was never, as you say yourself, you know, Billy Smith and Co. It had to be different.
And Complete Clarity was the name that you settled on, I presume, because it describes what it is that you do, your approach.
I mean, fundamentally, yes. But for anyone thinking of setting up their business, yes, it eventually became called trading as Complete Clarity Solicitors. But I actually set up the business in 2010 trading as a Clarity Law. And that's not to say that any of those businesses disappeared. They haven't. It's just the name's changed. You would have thought a solicitor would have checked thoroughly to make sure that he wasn't infringing the intellectual property rights of anyone else. But as it turns out, 2 years on, in 2012, I was. There was a considerably large corporate firm in London who had a trading style in one of the departments. And so we received an interesting letter in 2012. That then led to the change from Clarity Law to Complete Clarity Solicitors. So yeah, that's how that all came about.
You've also got another arm to your business, which is called Simplicity Legal.
Mm.
What makes that different from Complete Clarity?
Simplicity Legal was born in 2015 and was the brainchild of my now business partner, Emma King. Emma, at the time, was an employed solicitor with Complete Clarity Solicitors. She is still a family solicitor. And she saw a gap in the family law market for fixed price family law work. And so we decided in 2015 that we would have a go at this. And so we set up another law firm, Simplicity Legal, and we ran Simplicity Legal for the best part of 2 years as an entirely separate law firm providing family law services on a fixed price basis until 2017, when both Emma and I agreed that we were essentially pushing two incredibly large boulders up the same hill with double costs, paying double professional indemnity insurance when we didn't need to.
Yes.
And decided to amalgamate both Simplicity and Complete Clarity Solicitors in 2017.
So with Simplicity Legal, then the focus is family law and the simplification of family law. Family law is in a very emotional area of the law, and making it simple. I don't mean that in sort of making, well, maybe I do mean making it simple so it's easy to understand.
Yep.
And takes away a lot of the legal speak, I suppose.
It's important to almost come away from what Simplicity Legal is all about, what the family law aspect of Simplicity Legal is all about, and to try and simplify what the business, the overarching business is all about. I say this to so many people when I get asked the question, after the, you know, oh, you're a solicitor. Yes, I am. What is it you do? And I think that the answer they expect is, I do family law, I do conveyancing, I do court work. I don't answer it like that. I explain to people that we rely on the fact that human beings, the world over, we've never quite figured out how to completely resolve our arguments. We've never quite figured out how to approach someone else whom you may have a bit of a beef with and amicably resolve them without the need to involve the law. And so we rely across the business on a very umbrella basis on the fact that human beings have never quite figured out how to resolve their arguments. And so what we try to do is embrace that. And when we are dealing with anyone who is in any form of dispute in life, whether that's a husband with a wife or a landlord with a tenant or a contract dispute between people, for whatever reason, we are trying to bring matters down to as simple an explanation of the argument as we possibly can. We try to avoid, where possible, throwing the black letter law at people, because the black letter law doesn't give people solution. It doesn't give them tangible economic solution. Far too many people speak to us on a daily basis about it's the principle of the thing, irrespective of what the dispute is all about. It's the principle of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, principles are one thing, but principles can be incredibly expensive to achieve.
I was just thinking that principle almost sounds like price, and it.
Yeah.
Having a principle can be a very expensive the thing to want to own.
Absolutely. And in a very blunt style, those clients who sit before me and say, but it's the principle of the thing, I say, that's absolutely fine. And if you wish to remain on discussion of principles, then my bank account remains wide open and ready, willing and waiting for you. But I would much rather that we looked at some sort of sensible economic settlement in your case than assist me in going to buy the next takeaway for my children this weekend.
Yeah.
I think some lawyers would probably say, you know, the next Ferrari or the next Porsche. I don't have one of them. I do have very expensive children to deal with here.
It's interesting for me. I have never thought in the past of how the law exists to, as a, almost like a reaction, to compensate for a failing in human nature, which is our inability to resolve a dispute with another human being, adult to adult, looking at what was important to me, what was important to you, where we can agree, where we disagree, where we agree to disagree, and how we're going to resolve the things that we can't agree on. When you put it in that sort of frame, that changes your mindset slightly, in that, yeah, there is a huge and increasing interest in, like you say, the principles. I am going to put them in their place. I am in the right. It's a principle. I need my compensation. It's a principle that I should be paid compensation for this. And the thing that comes to mind listening to you speak is, like, there's a difference between what you want and what you need. And what you want may be to wipe the floor with someone because that's going to make you feel good. That's an element of human nature. I've put you in your place, so to speak, and I couldn't do it myself, so I've gone to the law to do it. But what you actually need can be completely different to what you want to do, and what you need is a resolution to the problem so that you can move forward. And you need that problem solved quickly, cost-effectively, so that you can move forward and, if necessary, still have a relationship with the person that you have the disagreement with. And what you're saying is that too many solicitors, I suppose, are too keen to facilitate people to go down the route of what they want and take legal action, whereas the solution should be something that is not necessarily legal action, but uses the role of the solicitor to facilitate the resolution of the problem.
As solicitors in business evolve, I think there's a growing trend that we are now running businesses as opposed to practices. I think there is a growing trend for solicitors who do supply clients with better guidance than simply what the law says. And I think that's a very, very good thing. That there are others who, to this day, completely ignore commercial economic reality sense and will raise a court action without second thought as to what effect it has on their client, not just insofar as their client's pocket. And I think this is important. And I speak to clients about this all the time who particularly have principles. You know, engaging in a legal dispute is an incredibly emotive experience. Engaging in a legal dispute will drain your resources, not just your financial resources, but will drain your physical resources.
And your emotional resources as well, I should.
Yeah, I like to speak to clients in the retrospect. I have to say, and I have to caveat, there's a legal word, I have to caveat what I'm saying, that what we try to do at the firm, what we try to do at the business in terms of encouraging people to look at commercial reality, doesn't always work. And yes, of course, there are people who still remain to go to court and whatnot. But I do like to speak to those that go to court in retrospect to ask them to evaluate that experience. And there are not terribly many people in this world that you will ever speak to who will speak about having been at court and how much of a fantastic experience it was. I would ask you to find someone who says that going to court was a fantastic experience, in fact. I don't think it is. I don't think it ever will be, nor should it be.
No.
It's there to find in favour of one of, I was going to say one of two people. Good God, it could be off the back of the recent post office debacle. You know, I think there's a lot of learnings that one could take from that. With your permission, I was going to tell a very brief story.
Please do, yes.
A lovely young couple that I very, very recently had the pleasure of having a lunch with, and they wanted some guidance. They were going through IVF, and this young couple were looking about a legal guidance on a scenario they'd got themselves into where they believed that the suppliers of IVF had let them down, and had let them down badly. And it was as clear a contract dispute between this lovely couple and this IVF supplier as one could possibly imagine. I was at pains during the course of eating my soup and during that lunch to focus their mind on what their objective was here. What tends to happen when you ask a client that question who is deeply, deeply affected by a legal circumstance that they're in, is that you tend to get a bit of a legal response. So, for example, the matrimonial client, I want to get a divorce. You know, the contract dispute client, I want to prove my rights in my contract. But that's not really good enough for me when I ask about objective. And so coming back to the young couple, when they gave me a very legal response to what they wanted, you know, we want compensation. And I said, well, really, is that what you want here? And after a bit of very delicate questioning, the young lady said to me, I want to have a baby. And that was absolutely key to the conversation we were about to have. Because what she wanted to do was have a big dispute with a fairly large company and who had fairly deep pockets, that was going to become a very emotive scenario, that was going to drain the finances, that was going to drain the resources. But actually what they wanted was to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to say to them, if you engage in what you're suggesting you want to do in this dispute, you need to know what the land looks like in front of you. And it was only after explaining that to them about the stress and the anxiety and the drain on resources, et cetera, that they deeply thanked me for that, because they hadn't thought about that. And I think in telling that story, that's something that maybe some solicitors fail to deliver to clients.
Yeah.
And I think if we took a responsibility to not just look at the legal solution, but the life solution,
yes,
then our advice could and should always be different in the circumstances.
Yes.
A true story.
It's very interesting, the feedback that you got from them and the process that they were going through. And it sounds a little bit like a solicitor would go, yeah, you want to sue, right?
Yep.
We will organize that legal action. Are almost getting wound up in the emotion of the people that they're talking to, and that's not necessarily what people want. I know that as an HR professional, that when we're talking to an employer and they get emotional about a situation, we have to take them out of that emotional situation, because they're likely to make a mistake because they're thinking with their heart, not with their head. And when they put the logic in, then they can start to see, okay, this is the solution. This will emerge. It becomes like a game of chess. In some ways, you have to remove the emotion from the situation, give people a structure, framework, or the logic which enables them to say, okay, this is where we're at. This is where we want to be. Where does the other person or people, organization involved in our disagreement want to be? Do they perceive the same issue as us? And what can be our mutually beneficial solution to this? It's almost like the legal action in itself should be the action of last resort, if it ever happens at all. But it really should be the thing that comes last on anyone's list, because you know, it's going to cost you an awful lot of money. And you constantly hear about families who have spent more than they inherited or could have inherited on the legal fees, arguing about what their share of the inheritance would be. And the only people that benefit are the solicitors, who are just perpetuating a legal action rather than actually sitting down and helping people resolve their differences. Of course, there will always be cases where people just refuse to engage in any mediation or reconciliation type processes. But even without the other party involved. It sounds like the first step is to actually get to the point of, do I need to take legal action, or is there another action that would get me what I really want, rather than what the emotional side of things tells me I might get? It's a very interesting approach, and one that we hopefully will see much more of in the provision of legal services.
Just a few more comments on that. Mm-hmm. And there are those that are listening. There are maybe those in business that are listening who would say to me, well, how are you making business out of that? If you are encouraging people not to use your legal services, how are you making business out of that? Number one, I do make business out of that, because if I have satisfied myself that I have given an absolutely transparent, futuristic view of what is about to happen, and my client says, thank you very much, I hear you, but I'm still prepared to do it, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. We get business out of that. And therefore, you will never get to the point at the end of the road where the client turns around and says to you, you never told me, because we did. But moreover, for those in business that are listening to this and maybe questioning that approach, so the story of the young couple, they have since referred me to someone else who needed legal work. Now, that's where the business comes from. It's about building the relationship such that they have such trust and confidence in you that when someone they hear in their network requires help, they know that I'm going to deliver a very similar strategy to anyone that they put in front of me. And I know that that inevitably will lead to business. So, yeah, that's what I would say to that.
Yeah, you get a reputation for the way in which you do business. Yeah. It's the delivery and the reputation that goes with it.
Absolutely.
It's certainly a very interesting approach. I think it's a very constructive approach to take in terms of opening up people's understanding, this idea that it's so simple but straightforward and so perfect that actually our laws and the legal profession exist to compensate for a failing in human nature, which is our inability to actually sit down with people that we have a disagreement with and work out the solution. All that we need is someone else to come in and help us remove the emotions from that situation and provide us with the clarity and a simplified way of finding the solution.
Absolutely.
Billy Smith, it has been a fantastic conversation for me to have today. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you. I am Michael Millward, the Managing Director of Abbasida, and I have been having a conversation with the independent mind, Billy Smith, the founder of Complete Clarity and Simplicity Legal, a firm of solicitors in Glasgow, Scotland. You can find out more about both of us at abbasida.co.uk. There is a link in the description. There is also a link to the Complete Clarity and Simplicity Legal website as well. That description is well worth reading. If you have liked this episode of The Independent Minds, please give it a like and download it so that you can listen anytime, anywhere. To make sure you don't miss out on future episodes, please subscribe. Remember, the aim of all the podcasts produced by Abbasida is not to tell you what to think, but just as Billy Smith has done with me today, we hope to make you think. All that remains for me to say now is a big thank you to you for listening, and until the next episode of The Independent Minds, goodbye.